walked towards you with her head down. She wondered if there's a way out of the blue. Who's gonna take her home this time?
Yes, and she's up for a Mercury Awards this very evening against David Bowie and a number of other fine folk there. That's Laura Mavula. Yeah, I'll get it sorted out. Laura Mavula, but doing wonderful stuff, etc. Okay, time now to actually dig out our very precise, wonderfully oriented diction person extraordinaire who will say...
Time for another Michelle Monroe selection on the midweek drive for Siren FM.
Hey, Michelle Monroe, how are you?
I'm good, thank you, Alex. You?
Good, all splendid, marvellous in every sense of the word.
Splendid, so, wow.
Exactly.
Better than most.
Listen, we move from yourself to Terry Knowles, Chief Executive Officer of Los Angeles Master Chorale, and then we've got Ed Wellman on dog cloning. What's not to love? You know,
wow.
It's marvellous. Katie's actually pointed out last year for Halloween, of course, I did actually have some treats. I pointed out to Katie, that's because technically it's October 30th now, as opposed to October 31st.
You had some Jaffa Cake bars.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about I want dog cloning. Mummy cloning.
Nice, yeah. It grows on trees, Michelle.
Would be nice.
It grows on trees.
Let me go out to my orchard.
Very important. You've got a live audience backing up the joys of dear Matt this evening, have you not?
Well, there we go. Now, listen, that's quite nice, because I've got a bit of an oddity this week.
I say.
Not the song itself, which is considered a standard these days, but the recording is a one-off from Dad's time at Parlophone with a different producer and musical director. Not only that, Alex, but unlike a normal recording session, this one took place in front of an audience. Now, Dad had been a regular contributor to a BBC radio show called Parade of the Pops, and it was proposed that an album of performances from the show should be issued on record. Now, whether due to contractual issues or because the BBC may have kept many editions of the show even only after a short time after broadcast, the decision was made to make brand new recordings with the show's regular cast and frequent returning guests. So on the 8th of January 1961... Dad, along with Russ Conway, the King Brothers, Gary Mills and Janet Richman, all convened at Abbey Road Studios to create a reproduction of the radio show in front of 120 people. The recording was made under the watchful eyes of BBC producer Johnny Kingdon and EMI producer Norman Newell and featured the show's regular house band, Bob Miller and the Millermen. It was in many ways fortuitous that the disc was made for posterity, as very little of the original radio series is known to survive. Now, the song dates back to 1944 and was written by Axel Stordahl and Paul Weston and Sammy Kahn and first appeared in the MGM movie Thrill of a Romance. It's been recorded by many artists from Crosby to Sinatra to Nat King Cole and even Amy Winehouse. My father also recorded the song with the Ted Heath Band for the BBC Transcription Services, and that recording is available on the set Matt at the BBC. But does it really matter how many versions there are of the song, Alex? I'm not sure. I should care.
Michelle, through the magic of the text scenario, we've actually had Tom Stevens text in a message. Isn't that right, Ed Wellman?
It absolutely is right. And hope you're okay, Michelle Monroe. And Tom has said a big hello to you.
Big hello, Michelle.
Did you know he was in the newspaper?
Did you know he was in the newspaper, Michelle Monroe?
Newspaper featuring in one of our local newspapers about his fabulous Simply Siren Jasher, which, of course, yourself
regularly co-presents on.
Yep.
Exactly.
Oh, love it, love it. He does a great job. Yeah. Hello, Tom. Oh. Nice that you're listening.
Yeah,
we like even if it is the enemy.
Never.
Well, we don't see it as that. We just see it as a case of exactly complementarity. It's the way forward. Yeah. You know, it's always important. Anyway, also a little hello to Rebecca Poole, who said she couldn't join us this evening because she's a bit poorly. Rebecca, get well quickly.
Oh, yes.
On. So there we are. Splendid stuff. So what do we make of the Matt Monro selection today, Holly?
I like that one, as I like all of them, really. Yeah, really
exactly.
Nice music, different to what I usually listen to.
Different, so but nice and effective. Ed?
Good ending there. Of course, it's written in the best key, being D-flat major, the strongest, most noble and broad key. So a winner for me.
D-flat major rules.
Indeedy.
Or in Tom Stevens' routine, rules, R-O-L-Z. Over to Katie.
It was good.
Yeah, there we are, you see. That's why
don't
she's
go mad, Katie.
No, that's why she, people watching on the webcam would have actually seen Katie leave the studio in the middle of that.
She was in the loop.
Sorry about that.
Getting
that extra added effect of the thing and all the rest of the bits and pieces.
True, yes.
That extra effect.
It was good from what I heard.
Exactly. Critically important. I think young Andrew David was just popping his head round there to remind people that, of course, he has his own very special Drive Time show on Mondays with respect to Andrew and the Doc, as we refer to Nigel, and they bring 2 hours of delight whilst some of us are actually preparing for our guest LSJ Present lecture, which of course will be William Sitwell this coming Monday, weather permitting, which is fabulous stuff. So good thumbs up as far as that's concerned. Excellent work all round, and I think Holly, is it your turn to actually do the last two questions, or is it Katie?
You did.
Yeah, let's pay attention
I could
to
do
the
them
script.
Again.
Nah, Katie's keen to actually do it. Cause, I mean, yeah, that's, Katie, your mum Sharon texted in to actually say it was nice to hear Ed on the news. Really.
Yeah,
I don't know what part of the news, but he was there, wasn't he?
I was a member of the public. General public, just minding my own business. Walking around.
Suddenly,
by Siren FM, would you believe it?
Marvellous. Standing. It can happen. Anyway. Katie, last two questions for Michelle, please.
Michelle, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us this evening?
Absolutely.
And can we look forward to connecting with you next week?
Oh, yes. I shall be back, I think.
Yes.
Will I?
Yeah, yes, well, I sincerely hope so. Exactly.
Yes,
meanwhile, if Matt Monro gives you chills, well, prepare to be totally chillified with the Los Angeles Master Chorale. And hold on. Absolutely splendiferously wonderful, genuinely something which when we actually received it, we got chills in every sense of the positive nature of that world, truly wondrous. And the very fact that we can actually now go to the chief executive officer of the Los Angeles Master Chorale, the legendary Terry Knowles, is even more wonderful. Terry, good morning in California speak. How are you?
And good evening in London. Hey. I am very well and very happy to talk to you again.
Brilliant. And once again, we're in Lincoln, not London, but who cares? You know, it's Terry
Knowles.
It's all right. You know, it's critical that those things go through. Earlier today on The Breakfast Show, I was talking about the celebration, in fact, the not only the 50th anniversary season of the Los Angeles Master Chorale, but also the most popular chorale staple that's been performed throughout the 20th century. And, of course, it's that little tale about medieval poets, defrocked monks, vagabond scholars and minstrels. It could almost have been written for Lincoln University. It's amazing.
It sounds like possibly Carmina Burana?
Exactly. You know, they're sort of vying for that. And that must be a treat when the Los Angeles Master Chorale go into full Carl Orff mode.
You know, it is a mighty thing to contend with. Big orchestra, lots of percussion, 115 grown-ups, about 50 children singers, a baritone, a soprano, and a tenor who's given the thankless task of being a dying swan. And what gets better than that?
Exactly. You know, a tenor being a dying swan. Ed, can you match that sort of magic with respect to the choir scenarios you're involved with?
I don't mean to slander tenors everywhere. I, you know, no harm meant.
Well, I will fly the flag for the tenors of the Lincoln Choral Society UK, because they do a sterling job along with their basses and altos and sopranos. But I do remember hearing Carmina Burana for the first time, indeed, in London, in the Central Methodist Hall, and it was a joint performance with some choirs from Quaker schools, actually, which my sister went to one. But it was absolutely fabulous. It's such an exciting piece of music, isn't it? And so dramatic with it.
It is an amazing piece of music, I must say. The chorale's done it 17 different times over its history. This will be the 17th time, and there are two performances this weekend, both of which are pretty much sold out. So, you know what? It works at the box office, too.
Which is even more wonderful. Of course, tragically, you know, once again, even if you think you're getting on the private jet, flying over to the Atlantic and saying, we will be there for the 2nd of November, 2 p.m. on Saturday, and Sunday, November the 3rd at 7 p.m. at Walt Disney Concert Hall. If you haven't got a ticket, that's, you know, you can't turn up.
Yeah, but if you want to come on over, Alex, you know what? You know me, and I'll help you.
Oh, hey.
So come
is
on
it,
over.
Is it, Terry, I just feel as though that is the real special relationship between, you know, both sides of the Atlantic working together for the benefit of the universe. I think that's
exactly.
Very critical.
It's a reason to get up in the morning.
Thank you. Holly, as a cheerleader, of course, coordinator of the Lincoln Cobra Elite Cheerleaders, what did you make of what we've just heard from the Los Angeles Master Chorale?
I did really enjoy it, that I ignored everything that was going on in the studio.
People trying to knock on the door,
and I just completely zoned out.
Exactly, because of the magic of the music.
It was lovely.
Yeah, it is great. And there is something about the power and strength of the collective human choir that I do find, when it works, is simply magical.
You know, it's so true. And as we talked about last time, Disney Hall makes that an even more powerful experience. And at our opening night concert, there were just a couple of instruments here and there, but it was largely all about collected voices. And, man, it was just an amazing evening that people are still talking about. It was what we hoped and dreamed and planned for, and it's just been a tremendous kickoff to this season.
Give a special thanks to, obviously, Andrew Brown, who was responsible for sending over some of these wonderful tracks, general manager of the Los Angeles Master Chorale. I won't suggest he has a pay raise, because that might be too much to actually go for. But, you know, nevertheless, we'll work through that. Next up, if you'd be kind enough to stay with us and introduce not only a fantastic tune, a fantastic example of the Los Angeles Master Chorale in full force, but a weather forecast as well. You know, something which, you know, we could do within Lincoln. We might have it in Lincoln, England, as opposed to Nebraska. But it happens regularly in Los Angeles. Would you like to take the baton and the line and do the introduction, Terry, for this next little piece, which I think we can identify what it is, and it isn't Rejoice, O Virgin. We'll finish with that, but this next one.
Sean Kirchner is a young American composer who is our composer in residence for this and the next 2 years. And Sean is an astonishing compositional voice and just an amazing arranger as well. And he did a triptych called Heavenly Home. I'm guessing he said it about 3 years ago. And we are going to hear one of the pieces from that triptych called Unclouded Day, which just, much like Hold On and Jester Harrison, will just get yourself your blood boiling and get yourself breathing hard.
So I'm thinking primarily it's very American in the true liberation, exciting freedom sense of Americana and almost the sort of Dvorak New World Symphony, all that's a different line of things. I can sense sort of huge vistas, open clouds, literally unclouded. The best of America. What do you say, Ed?
I think so. It combines this wonderful a rich texture with some really, really complicated rhythms, aren't they? They're very, very tight, and with the numbers that you've got singing there, that must take quite a lot of rehearsing.
You know, Sean is a member of the Master Chorale, actually. He's a very fine tenor in his own right and a fantastic pianist as well. And he knows these singers so well and what they can do. And to me, one of the most remarkable aspects of the Master Chorale is how nimble it is, even though there are so many people singing at one time. They just sort of groove into Sean's music, and this set, Heavenly Home, is just a total joy to listen to start to finish.
I find it highly inspirational, and in fact I'm almost suggesting that we should start every day off by listening to the Los Angeles Master Chorale interpreting a sort of outlines of that, because it kind of sets that whole thing through. And I came in this morning to do a little bit of prep for the show, obviously listening to Jeff and Ian and their superlative Wednesday a halfway there show, and I'm thinking, this actually really lifted me, kind of lifted me up to a whole new sort of level. Katie, did it lift your good self?
Yes, it did.
Casey's put in a request for some Jimi Hendrix. We're trying to fit it in, but, you know, where we go on this one? We don't know, Terry. Holly, questions?
You know, the chorale performed Frank Zappa with the LA Phil last week, so
Only a step before you'll be getting the scripts for on the musical scores for All Along the Watchtower, I'm sure. You know, it'll happen, you know, definite
one. Absolutely.
Holly, any questions for yourself?
I've never heard of...
Los Angeles Master Chorale.
No, but what have you done previously? I mean, obviously you've got this, but many number of things. When did you start? A little bit of history for me, maybe?
Half a century of magic.
Loads of stuff.
Terry, take it away.
Yes, this is the 50th season, and we have been producing our own seasons, independent seasons, since January of 1965, and we plan to do so for the next 50 years and beyond. We are in residence at Walt Disney Concert Hall, one of the great concert venues in the world. We sing often with the LA Philharmonic. We do great education programs. We're a full-service music organization that makes some of the best choral music around, in my view.
I think that's right in every sense, except I would say it's the best choral music around.
Thank you.
I'd just qualify that. Other than that... perfect rendition. There we are. Sorted
Thank
through.
Thank you. Thank you.
And we await with interest the possible release of DVDs as well, because I think we need to spread the word even more. It's generally wonderful in every sense of the word. I mean, looking ahead to 2014, of course, some really exciting things coming up. If you are looking for tickets, etc., I'm particularly interested in the Minimalist Jukebox Festival in April next year, which is, you know, particularly fascinating on that side of things. By a Minimalist Jukebox, you just sort of say, well, we'll just have voices, no instruments whatsoever.
You know, the LA Philharmonic is doing a second round of its own festival called Minimalist Jukebox, and this concert is our contribution to that festival. Just two works on the program. Steve Reich, You Are Variations, is a work for 18 singers, four virtuoso pianists, a bunch of virtuoso mallet players. We commissioned the work from Steve, recorded it, have done it in New York as well, and we're reprising it here, and Grant has paired it with David Lang's astonishing Pulitzer Prize winning work called The Little Match Girl Passion in its chamber choir version. The work was originally written for just four individual singers, each of whom plays a few little percussion instruments, but then he modified it to be for 32 singers, and so we will pair with the Reich on that program. It'll be the complete polar opposite of what happened on opening night on this stage, and it will be just as beautiful.
And it will be magical. We must give a little mention, of course, to music director Grant Gershon, who is doing wonderful work in terms of this. I mean, a bit like a sort of director of a successful sporting organisation, Terry. It must give you satisfaction to know actually the team works superbly well, and you know whatever the situation, they're going to come up with the goods. They're going to get A stars all the way.
Thank you. It is so true. There is nothing that these singers cannot do. Nothing. It's been Frank Zappa, Brett Dean, and Rachmaninoff over the last 6 weeks, and all of it just nailed. And I work with an astonishing group of staff colleagues here, excuse me, who are as committed to the institution as I am. I'm in a very good place, and I know it, and I'm very grateful.
It's Terry, you have added to that magic even more from that perspective, which is, you know, what we always say every time we connect with you, good self. I have to sort of point out that for Phil Leonis, of course, in Los Angeles, we'll be coming to him shortly after our feature on dog cloning. I'll say that again, a feature on dog cloning, with indeed some Americans there. Is that right? A Chicago lady who's actually cloned her pet.
Well,
not once, but twice.
She's had her pet cloned twice, so she's got double trouble.
It's a very strange world, Terry, when you actually have Chicago dog owners who decide to clone their pets three times.
At a cost of £63,000
a time. May I say just one more thing also before we go?
Yes.
Which is that there will be on November 12th the release of a digital album of a cappella selections from this opening night concert. It'll be available on iTunes and Amazon. I hope your listeners will consider going there looking for it and treating themselves to this music.
I think we'll be there, won't we, Ed? And Holly and Katie and, of course, yes, dear listener, if you've got any remote scenario sense, you will go there as well and select the whole thing. It's wondrous. We've got two more questions to ask you, but I do want to finish with Rejoice, O Virgin from All Nigh, which is a nice little way to take us round, in a bizarre way, to dog cloning. Never thought I'd say that, actually, Terry, but, you know, it's juxtaposition of the show. Works on that. But, Ed, would you like to throw those last two questions to Terry Knowles, please?
Terry, it's been fantastic to talk to you, but have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic chat with us?
I've been looking forward to this conversation, I must say, and I hope that we'll talk again whenever you all are ready. It's been a great joy for me. Thank you.
I sense a regular feature coming around here. You know, it's essential on that sort of basis. So, having said all that, would you like to introduce, as ever, the fantastic Los Angeles Master Chorale with Rejoice, O Virgin, from All Nigh?
I would be happy to. This is from Rachmaninoff's All Night Vigil. And this is from a performance, this is what you will hear now is from our opening night performance, but the Master Chorale has done the entire work in previous seasons. It's luscious, it's gorgeous, it's so moving, and wait for the basses to come up sort of in the middle and really grab you by the throat.